570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Keep in mind, if you missed any of the show today, please download the free iHeartRadio app. Kevin will put the podcast up the second we get off the air. All 3 hours. Check out the interviews, the games, things we may or may not have said. Some things you hear, just erase from your memory. We didn't actually say them. to hear the podcast every day, download the free iHeartRadio app. And if you do that, wherever you are, wherever you go, you can stream the show live each and every day. And we invite you to do so. We have people, as Rodney's pointed out, listening from all over the country and all over the world. So we invite you to be part of our extended family, and we appreciate it if you are. Later this hour, Dylan Hernandez will join us. Dylan has covered the Dodgers for years. And now a columnist for the LA Times. He believes Clayton Kershaw should re-sign with the Dodgers and retire a Dodger. He should not go anywhere else. So Dylan Hernandez will join us, and that's coming up later on this hour. But now we need spirituality. We need to come together. We need to be one. And the only way we can do that is with the haiku at 2. Now, Vic is unavailable today. But stepping in as he has done in the past. Rodney, are you surprised?
Yeah, I didn't get notice. I didn't get the memo.
Are you okay?
No, not.
I know.
It's all you things you got to get ready for.
Yeah.
You got to prepare for.
Yeah.
And this is a curveball.
Okay.
And I'm not prepared.
All right, but to be fair, when you played baseball at USC, you did handle the curveball well.
I did. Don't hang that curveball.
All right. Well, maybe this will be a hanging curveball. Because stepping in, as he has done in the past, not many times, by the way, this is very unusual and very rare. But stepping in, we welcome in Ronnie Fazio with the Daily Haiku at 2. So, Ronnie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rogan and Rodney. Yes, Fred. Very unusual and very rare.
You see, when Ronnie does it, we don't have to sit here for 30 seconds and let it marinate. Ronnie gets to the haiku.
And I'm humbled and honored.
Is that a shot at Vic?
What?
Is that a shot at letting things marinate?
No.
That's absolutely
a shot at Vic.
It's not a shot at Vic. It's a shot at you and Kevin.
What? How is it our fault? What do we do?
Right, because as I say, Vic, please, you know, we're concerned about your health. If you don't speak, we don't even know if you're there.
Don't say we. Kevin and I are not concerned about his health.
Not in the least bit.
And you know what? That might be the cruelest thing the two of you have ever said. I have concern.
In the moment, we are letting it marinate. In the moment of the haiku, you have to let it marinate.
You got it.
And we know Vic is there because Ronnie and I speak with Vic before the segment even begins to know that he's there. Fred, there's been like maybe two occasions. Twice that I could think of that we put Vic up and he wasn't there for whatever reason.
And you know what? My heart stopped.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
So maybe we should check on your health and make sure you're okay, Fred, and not Vic.
Right, but I don't want to marinate because if I'm not talking, there's something wrong with me. And Ronnie, to that point, you didn't even let it marinate today. You want to start again?
Well, no, I don't want to start again because that's Vic's style. I've got my own style.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Let's be original here, Fred.
Okay. Ronnie.
And once again, I am humbled and honored to, if I may use a baseball reference, to pinch hit once again for our dear friend, the legendary Vic the Brick Jacobs.
Very nice.
But first,
yes,
I want to wish a happy Veterans Day to everyone.
Absolutely.
And thank all the veterans for their courage and sacrifice for the sake of freedom and the American way. My grandfather and uncles were veterans from the Army and Air Force who are very proud of their service. And on a day like today, I'm proud to remember the service members in my family. And there's no doubt that it takes special people that make up the collective that are our military service members to whom we give our thanks on this Veterans Day 2021.
Ronnie, well said.
And so today's haiku is inspired by courage.
What, that's it? You have no other random thoughts you'd like to share?
Fred, it's
Why are you
Veterans
interrupting?
Day.
Exactly.
Why are you interrupting, Ronnie?
It's a Veterans Day haiku, Fred.
What you do to Fred, Vic, too. Why are you interrupting the haiku?
Well, this is Ronnie's moment. I thought he might want
yeah,
to share
Yeah, but why are you
with...
interrupting? Ronnie has this prepared. So Ronnie's going to do what Ronnie does. Why do you... He doesn't need your help, Fred.
Are you saying Ronnie's ready? Is that what you're saying?
What does it sound like to you, Fred? Are we not in the middle of the haiku when I was interrupted?
Well, no, you hadn't started
it yet. I was about to.
I just wanted you to have an opportunity to take your moment and do whatever you chose.
And I did, and I thank you for that, Fred.
Okay.
So if I may.
Yes.
Once again, today's haiku is inspired by courage. And it comes to us from a 10th century female Japanese poet, Izumi Shikubi. Regarded as one of the greatest female poets of her time.
Okay.
And so with that, I will deliver today's haiku. Although the wind blows terribly here, the moonlight also leaks between the roof planks of this ruined house. A feeling you! Izumi Shikibu.
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 You see,
Ronnie, that was smooth, Ronnie. I'm going to need that one more time.
Oh, you want it again?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right.
I am happy to deliver it once again for you, Rodney Pete.
Very good.
Thank you.
Once again, this haiku is brought to you today on Veterans Day by haiku artist and 10th century female Japanese poet Izumi Shikibu. Izumi Shikibu. The terrible blowing wind. I'm sorry, let me back that up a little bit. Although the wind blows terribly here, the moonlight also leaks between the roof planks of this ruined house. A feeling you! Come on now!
And you know what I enjoy about that so much? It obviously is a rags-to-riches story. The haiku master, the poet, grew up in a tough spot. Her house was falling apart. The roof was crumbling. Yet she took the time to admire and appreciate what she did have. And it was the moonlight coming through the roof. And then she went on to become a legendary poet.
Is that your interpretation, Fred?
Yes.
I suppose anybody can have their own interpretation, as everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But my interpretation of this beautiful haiku...
Yes, give us yours, Ronnie, because you delivered it.
Is,
I love it.
The blowing wind may represent scenarios and situations that may seem that one is trapped in and hopeless with no escape. But the moonlight leaking through the metaphoric darkness represents hope, which inspires courage and perseverance, which is why it's a haiku for our military members. Oh, come on now!
Boy, Kevin, you knocked the gong over on that one.
I was really moved. Was really moved by that interpretation by Ronnie. So
that was really solid, Ronnie. That was a very
Did
good
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I err on the side of mine. But I can appreciate and respect yours.
Thank you, Fred.
Rodney, did you take anything away that was special?
I loved it, Ronnie. I loved it, Ronnie. Every minute of it, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Kevin, do you want to add anything?
No. After that, you want me to follow Ronnie's interpretation? I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
That was amazing.
Fred.
All right. Okay, good.
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Presented by our dear friend Jacob and Ronnie, if you find yourself in trouble... If you're involved in an accident, you know there's one person to call. Been doing it for 25 years. This guy doesn't have any problems. This guy has solutions. He's our guy, Jacob Amrani.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Amrani. Call Jacob.
Of course, we know the big story. Odell Beckham Jr. deciding to sign with the Los Angeles Rams. And now we may know why. It came down to the Rams and the Packers, according to multiple reports.
Yes.
You know, the Packers are very interested. Davante Adams apparently spoke with Odell Beckham Jr. to try to recruit him. But apparently it was some negative recruiting that maybe have kept Odell away from Green Bay, and that negative recruiting came from Justin Jefferson, who essentially is like a little brother to Odell. They both went to LSU. I believe Justin Jefferson may have been one of the players that Odell was handing money to after they won the national title a couple of years ago that he got in trouble for. But Justin Jefferson said, he says, hey, look, I love Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams as individual players. They're great, but I play for the Minnesota Vikings. I'd rather you not go to Green Bay. So if you could, for your boy, just keep it out west or just keep it out of the NFC North and go to the Rams and don't come to the Packers. Do we think that Odell Beckham Jr. had Justin Jefferson's interests in mind when he decided to sign with the Rams there, Fred?
I would hope not. I would hope that is not the reason he decided to sign with the Rams. Because if your buddy who plays on a team in the same division you play in says, do me a solid, don't show up here. We got enough to worry about. Go out west. Oh, you're right, I'll do it. I don't know. I think maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Maybe it's a chance to be in L.A. I'm not sure that his pal was the one that put him over the top, Rodney.
No, definitely not. No, if it's, you know, if all things being equal and the money's the same and it's a decision between, you know, Green Bay and the Buffalo Bills, who are kind of similar paths as good teams, and you might say, okay, yeah, I'll go to Buffalo, but all things ain't equal. And it's a choice between Green Bay, Wisconsin, or the bright lights of Hollywood and LA. I don't think that was a very difficult choice.
I don't know what kind of choices Cam Newton had, but
wait, we're not going to get Ronnie's take filling in for Vic?
If he has a take on it, sure.
Repeat the question, please. Sorry, gentlemen. I'm here just, doing things, getting the breaks ready and kind of doing my thing here. I would love to participate. What was the question?
Basically talking about Justin Jefferson, a receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, who is a good friend of Odell Beckham Jr. because they both went to LSU. And Justin Jefferson said he told Odell, please don't sign with the Green Bay Packers. Don't make my job any harder than it has to be here in the NFC North. So I was just asking whether or not Justin Jefferson's thoughts and interests were taken into account from Odell Beckham when deciding to sign with the team.
Probably not.
Okay, that's right. Moving on. Cam Newton is back with the Carolina.
I'm glad we waited for that.
I bet you
are, Fred.
Next time, try giving me a heads up.
All right, heads up. You're in this one.
Okay.
Cam Newton signing back with the Carolina Panthers. This is after, I'm sorry, Rodney, your Trojan brother is struggling a little bit. And now he's hurt. Sam Darnold was not playing well for Carolina. Now he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a shoulder injury. And so they try to see if they can get that magic back again, Fred, and bring in the former 2015 league MVP in Cam Newton. We think this is going to give Carolina a shot in the arm because they have not played well the last month or so.
Look.
And the shot in the arm, by the way, was not a play on words. I meant that literally.
No,
not with the shoulder injury in the.
Well, we understand.
Okay.
Here's the bottom line. Cam needs a job. He obviously knows the system there. Matt Rhule's the coach. So
new coaching staff.
Right. So he doesn't know the system there. But at the very least, the fans are acquainted with him. They need a quarterback. He's available. I don't know. Maybe somehow, some way, he can recapture a little of that magic. It's doubtful, but maybe he'll be able to do it. It seems to me like a perfect landing spot for him right now in his career at this point in the season, Rodney.
It does.
He needs a job. They need a quarterback.
I don't know. It feels feels weird. Feels desperate. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to fit with that situation. And you're right, Kevin. I'll be first to admit, Sam Darnold has not played well at all. He went back to as if he was playing for the Jets, you know, before he got hurt. I don't know what this does. I forget the name of the guy that's starting now, the backup that now.
PJ Walker.
Yeah, PJ Walker starting now. And yesterday, 2 days ago, he saw his interviews about very excited to become the guy and start. And and lead this team. And now you bring in a big personality, big guy who was at one time fan favorite, former MVP, back to the team of Carolina. For a young quarterback to go out there and play with that over his shoulder is going to be difficult. So I don't know if it was the best move, unless they really do plan on the moment something gets bad or shaky, then Cam's coming in to finish out the season.
I'm with you, Rodney. Carolina's desperate. They need help. And Cam Newton's looking for a job. He needs a paycheck, right? He makes a lot of money. Isn't that what he told that kid on the sideline there? He makes a lot of money, right? So he needs to make some more money. So Carolina seems like the right situation for him. He had his best years in Carolina. Who else is better than Cam Newton that's available right now? So, I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures. The worst thing that could happen is that it could fail miserably. But it could not fail miserably if Cam Newton feels that he's refreshed. He feels better about being back home in Carolina where it all started for him. And he may have a resurgence. It's a wait and see kind of thing.
Someone else who was looking for a job and now has one is Jim Mora, the former UCLA Bruins head football coach. Earlier today, signing a contract with the University of Connecticut, who has won 4 games in 4 seasons. We think Jim Mora can turn things around down there in UConn, or I should say across the country in UConn, because, boy, he sure did a hell of a job at UCLA, Fred.
Well, first, easy,
sorry,
Kevin.
I know.
Wow, Kevin. Yeah. Really. First of all, congratulations. Good for Jim. Got another job. What's interesting is, it took him a while to get another job.
Sure did.
You know,
wasn't he an analyst for a minute?
He was working at the four letter for a little bit as an analyst, absolutely.
And you would think that would even give him a better chance to get another job. But it took him a while. Hopefully he can turn that program around, or at least improve that program. If he can do that, maybe he'll find his way back up to the big time. Somewhere, somehow. But I think it's great for him. I'm happy for him, Rodney.
Yeah, just because it took time doesn't mean he didn't want to, you know, he couldn't find a job, or they weren't asking for him. You know, a lot of guys go into the booth after they get fired or semi-retire, and then after a few years, they start to get that itch back, a la Urban Meyer or John Gruden, and just want to coach because that's what their passion is. So I'm happy for him. I know him, and I'm rooting for him back there.
And Chip Kelly did that, by the way. He was working at ESPN before he became the head coach at UCLA. We touched on this briefly, that there was issues with the Anaheim Ducks and their general manager, Bob Murray. He officially did resign late yesterday, and also admitted he's going to enroll in an alcohol abuse program. This is after reports that he had an abusive culture, or fostered an abusive culture within the Ducks organization over the last few years. A lot of people complained of verbal abuse coming from his side of the building. So he has resigned, will enroll in an alcohol abuse program, Fred.
Well, first of all, for all the people at the Ducks that endured whatever happened, you feel for them. And you hope that Bob Murray can get his life turned around by enrolling in that treatment program. You know, so yesterday the report did come out and they said he's suspended. Pending the final findings of the investigation, and then it came out that he was stepping aside. And what that tells me is, he says, I've got a problem. I will go get help. And they said, okay, resign. And he did. Because obviously the alternative was getting fired. In doing it the way he did, and again, you want him to be okay. But in doing it the way he did, somehow he tries to preserve his career. I mean, you're not getting hired again anywhere. You're not getting hired anywhere again if you have lost your job because you created a hostile work environment. They're not going to bring somebody in to operate a business like that. But if you say, and I think I know why, I had a problem and I'm willing to address it and I'm going to address it, then maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel for his professional career, Rodney.
Yeah, there may be, but here's the thing. You know, the culture, I don't know how long this culture's been bad. You know, was it a thing that has been going on for years that is coming out now? Because you know a person has a problem if within the last 2 to 5 years that the culture was bad given where we are as a society and allowed that to continue. You got to be brain dead or lack of reality or lack of whatever to be the leader of an organization and then condone a culture that is toxic like that. I mean, it's scary how many places that we're seeing things come out, like recently. You know, the Phoenix Suns in Sarver is a bad situation there.
Did you read this thing today about that?
I didn't see it today, but I know it's been ongoing.
Over the weekend, his wife messaged some people on Instagram and sent some text messages and said, "I can't believe you're lying about us. What, you're destroying our family?" And all of the people that she texted then thought she was threatening them. And they reported that to the NBA. Oh, it's a mess there.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess. And so, yeah, it's two things, right? Either you are that person or you really have a problem and you definitely need help. So, good thing, you know, Bob Murray is getting the help. But there is zero, absolutely zero tolerance. And should have always been. But in light of where we are now as a society, absolutely zero tolerance for any kind of behavior that is toxic.
And a bit of good news before we check out of here. This hot off the presses. Newest Dodger, Andrew Heaney, going to join us on the show tomorrow.
Very nice, Kevin. Good work.
Yeah.
Good
what
work.
What time? I'm not sure, but he will join us on the show tomorrow.
All right. Excited about that.
Yes. And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Okay. Dylan Hernandez says there was only one choice for Clayton Kershaw. He must retire a Dodger. All right. We'll get into that next.
Now, your chance to put $1,000 in your pocket. Text the nationwide keyword deposit to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's deposit to 200-200. Good luck. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic. If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
Outstanding. Girl, you knock me up.
Inside. Oh, yeah. Come on, Freddie. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. You make me wanna on the Throwback Thursday. All good.
All good in the hood, Rodney. There is only one choice for Clayton Kershaw. He must retire a Dodger. All right? That wisdom comes from Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times, and Dylan joins us now. Dylan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you guys.
Okay, so you're saying Kershaw has got to re-sign with the Dodgers and retire a Dodger, correct?
Yeah, I don't really think that's, like, honestly, very deep thinking there. You know, it's kind of the visceral. You know, he spent his whole career here. You know, he's coming back from something pretty serious. I think, you know, probably best done under circumstances in which he's familiar, you know, with the support of fans that have backed him his whole career and with an organization that he knows pretty well and that knows him pretty well. You know, I think that this is probably a nice way to kind of go out. I think I mentioned that, you know, he has a couple milestones coming up in terms of, I think he's approaching 200 wins, 3,000 strikeouts. You know, you might as well do that here where I think people have a better appreciation of kind of, you know, the totality of the body of work.
Are you telling the man to retire, Dylan? You're telling the man to retire.
No, I'm just saying, like, that the only choice to be made is retirement just because, you know, it sounds, from what we gather, it's sounding like it's either going to be the Dodgers or he's going to go home and pitch for the Texas Rangers, right, who have not made the playoffs, by the way, since 2016. And it's just hard for me to imagine Clayton Kershaw, like, finishing up, you know, with the Texas Rangers. You know, again, he's been, you know, he's, right? I mean, he himself has talked about just kind of the opportunities that he's had here to pitch every October. He's gotten used to, you know, pitching important games, you know, year after year. That might not happen in Texas. There's a good chance it wouldn't happen in Texas. So, you know, while I kind of understand this thing about, hey, you know what, you know, it's becoming difficult to pull the kids out of school, you know, as they're starting to get into, like, school age and stuff. You know, it's elementary school, right? And it's also, like, American education. Like, it's not like, you know, in some other places where if you fall behind a little bit or something, it's going to affect the rest of your life. This country, I do think, you know, our education system, it's easy enough where you can always kind of make stuff up. So, you know, to me, I'm kind of looking at this, and to me it's kind of a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, but that comes down to, does he take enough of a hometown discount to make it work?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and we saw this, right, with Justin Turner last year, where, you know, they kind of circled around each other, and, you know, there was kind of some, you know, pushing and pulling and tugging and whatever, and eventually they got it to make it work, right? Because I think ultimately Turner realized, you know what, it makes most sense for me to come here. I think the organization also, right, and, you know, probably like in Turner's case, and I'm guessing in Kershaw's case, would, you know, they do realize too, right, that these players mean probably more to them than they would to other teams. So, you know, you sweeten the pot a little bit. You know, obviously I don't think Kershaw's expecting to, you know, maintain kind of that $31 million a year salary, but, you know, I'm sure they'll find something that's going to make it work. I still do think that, again, Kershaw is probably, even at this stage in his career, worth more to the Dodgers than he is to, like, any other team, just because, again, the attachment that the fans have to him. You know, that's again, it's not something, you know, that you can't just replace that either, right? I mean, you know, and I think I had in there that I think, you know, the ball players that have broken in to the major leagues, you know, since 1990 and, you know, have since gone on to the Hall of Fame, only three guys, right, only three Hall of Famers, you know, were, right, finished their careers, played their entire careers with a team that either drafted them or originally signed them as an amateur player. So, you know, this is like a pretty rare thing that's happening in baseball now, right? I mean, and, you know, from the Dodgers standpoint, too, you know, when are you going to have another opportunity like this, right, where you draft a guy, he becomes, you know, the best player, arguably, in the game, or at least the best player at his position, and, you know, he stays here, right? I mean, you know, Corey Seager, theoretically, could be that guy, but, you know, we're seeing right now, right, as we kind of go into this winter, he's going to have a lot of suitors. Like, you know, things don't always kind of work out as planned like that, and so, you know, or you take a case like Cody Bellinger, where it looks like he's on that trajectory and, you know, things kind of go awry somewhere. And, you know, so for everything to kind of have worked out, you know, as well as it has up to this point in Kershaw's career, I just kind of think it'd be a waste if he just doesn't finish it off here.
Yeah, a waste. And what's that discount look like if it's going to be a waste? And how much are the Dodgers willing to go? I mean, I know that's the big issue. Like you mentioned, he's not going to warrant the $31 million, but where do you see it land to be something palatable for the Dodgers and for Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah, you know, that's, like, really interesting, right? Just because, I mean, honestly, like, the way pitchers are used now is, like, so different even than it was, like, 3 years ago, you know? Right? I mean, I'm not really sure. Are you expecting a guy to go out there and pitch seven innings? I mean, that sounds like superhuman nowadays, doesn't it? You know, so I'm not – I think the calculus of everything is going to kind of get redone. Obviously, the collective bargaining agreement is going to get redone. I mean, most likely in 3 weeks, this is going to be like a non-issue in that there's going to be a work stoppage, right? And he could have signed if he wanted to. But, you know, I think and I think that there is this health component, right? I mean, he had this flexor tendon injury. You know, while it doesn't need surgery, it's not nothing either, you know? And I think he wanted, in part, to kind of like, okay, let me get to a certain point in my recovery, you know, to get a better idea of what I feel I'm worth. And same thing with the Dodgers, right, where they can, you know, okay, yeah, like now we're pretty confident that you can go out there and make, you know, 25, 30 starts. You know, kind of important here to note, too, that, right, that, you know, Dr. Neil Eletrage, right, obviously the guy who, you know, operated on Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, you know, he's the guy that's, you know, been checking out Kershaw, also happens to be the Dodgers team doctor, right? So I think that they'll have a pretty good idea of where he is medically. Obviously, Eletrage's, you know, reputation in sports medicine is, like, very good. So I think that they can kind of trust that judgment. And, you know, so my guess is, again, like, he's, you know, he knows, again, this work stoppage is coming. You know, why not just wait a little bit, get a better idea? And, yeah, you know, once if he's, you know, if they think he can make 30 starts, I mean, he's probably still, like, a $20-plus million pitcher, right? You know, we forget, you know, that at the time that he went down in, what, early July, I mean, he was probably still like a top 10 pitcher in the National League, you know, and again, revenues where they are and everything, you know, that still has a lot of value. And so, you know, given, again, you know, what he means to the franchise and everything, my guess is that it ends up in the somewhere in the 20 to 25 range. Again, I, you know, I'm just totally spitballing here, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, but Dylan, if he's, let's say, the fourth starter on the team, third or fourth starter, is the going rate for a third or fourth starter $25 million?
Well, he'd be a very good third or fourth starter, right? And this is the way, you know, and this is the thing, right? The baseball's compensation system is not fair, you know, right? Because right now in you know, Julio Rios and Walker Buehler, you have guys that are just like hitting salary arbitration, you know. So these guys, really, relative to performance, are like grossly underpaid. And this is the way the system works, right, where, you know, we can sit here and talk about, okay, well, Kershaw's overpaid, but you know what? Then the other side of it is that Urias and Buehler are way underpaid. It's just the way the system works, you know. And so once you kind of hit free agency, the system is designed for you to cash in then. It's almost like back day, right? And this is where the game has kind of encountered this trouble now where, you know, teams are now saying, well, we don't want to pay for, you know, previous performance, but that's actually what the system's actually set up to do, right? Because a lot of times, you know, between years one and year six, the teams are pretty much paying them whatever they want for the most part, you know, or it's tied to, you know, the last 3 years, you know, year three to six, it's tied to arbitration, whatever, but those guys are underpaid. So that's just the way the system works.
Dylan, you mentioned Corey Seager and your gut. What do you think happens there? Do you think they find a way to keep him around, or is he gone in the open market and making a killing?
Yeah, I think he's gone just because, you know, the one thing Scott, you know, so he's represented by Scott Boras, who's really good at getting one team to pay a lot of money for his premium guys. And Corey Seager is obviously a premium guy. Middle of the order bat. You know, I don't think he's a particularly great defensive shortstop, but it doesn't really matter almost now in that. But a lot of teams feel that with all the shifting that they do, that they can kind of make up for, you know, the lack of range or whatever. You know, but the bat's going to play, right? The bat plays at any position. It plays at first base. It plays at third. So, yeah, my guess is that he's going to, right, Boras is going to find him a deal somewhere and some team. You know, it could be a team, again, like the Texas Rangers, actually, right, who – haven't been competitive for a while. They're coming out saying, you know, they need to make a statement to their fans. They're in this new ballpark. You know, I could see that as being kind of a landing spot for Corey Seager.
Okay, well, if you're assuming the Dodgers cannot hold on to Corey Seager, Andrew Friedman said, by the way, in the perfect world, we'd hold on to everybody, but we know the world is not perfect. Do they hold on to Chris Taylor?
No, because I think that, you know, Taylor, we see this every few years, right? It kind of cycles through with these kind of super utility type guys. You know, where the market kind of heats up for them all of a sudden. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, when Ben Zobrist got his, like, 50-whatever, $4 million contract, you know, those guys were kind of in vogue at the time. And I think right now, you know, Kike Hernandez's performance really in the postseason, I think, has kind of helped. It also shows, you know, with what Jock Peterson did, you know, the fact that Chris Taylor has played in as many postseason games as he has over the last 2 years, that stuff helps, right? I mean, you know, we saw it in, you know, Peterson and Kike. So I think he's really going to get paid, right? And the thing is, you know, the Dodgers, where they have done well, you know, in recent years, is kind of finding those types of guys at low prices, you know, and I don't think he's going to be a low-priced guy anymore.
Okay, before we let you go, since you are not only covering the Dodgers as a columnist, but you are covering everyone as a columnist, what do you think about the Rams signing OBJ?
I love it from the, you know, as somebody who covers this stuff, big personality, you know, it's the market of stars, right? So from that standpoint, I love it. I do kind of wonder if this was like the smart thing to do, right? I mean, they could probably use, what, like another defensive back or something. You know, they've already, I mean, Cooper Kupp, obviously they have a star receiver, you know, Robert Woods. I mean, it feels like they're kind of set there. You know, you do kind of wonder, by adding this other element to it, are you potentially messing something good up there?
Well, that would be the question. I agree. Rodney is the NFL quarterback. What do you think?
No, he's a tremendous talent, and I think he's coming to a team that's already got a lot of talent, that's kind of got their stuff together, you know, despite all of the outside noise about OBJ, I think coming into a place like the Rams, he knows not to disrupt what they've got going, and I don't think he will. I think he's just going to add to it, and my gut feeling is that it's going to be amazing. I think he is going to. He's got obviously a chip on his shoulder to be here after what happened in Cleveland, the way he left, not being productive. I think he's got a tremendous chip, and he's going to have and be in an offense that can exploit his talent. So I think it's going to be an unbelievable success for him. I've said it here first.
Yeah, Dylan, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, well, hopefully, right? And, you know, the fact, too, that, right, we didn't hear the Rams really until today. Really, you know, I'm guessing that, you know, Snead and McVay sold him on this idea. So hopefully that shows a certain degree of buy-in. But you know what? A lot of times you just kind of don't know if these things are going to work out, right? Whenever you're dealing with a big personality, you know, kind of taking it back to the Dodgers. I mean, the Albert Pujols thing ended up being great. I could have also seen a scenario where that doesn't work out, right? Just because, you know, guy that stature, he's not used to, you know, right? And again, you know, Stafford and Cooper Kupp already have this thing going. Is he going to be okay being the number two guy? You know, I think that there are a lot of variables here. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully Rodney's right, because it would be a lot of fun if it did work out.
All right. Dylan, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it as always.
No, thank you so much.
There goes our buddy Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times. All right. Maybe we'll do the Scott Boras stuff tomorrow. We had some stuff, but I don't think we have time today, Kevin. So we'll do that tomorrow. All right. We'll drop that in somewhere. The Scott Boras stuff. Okay, cool. What?
Yeah, I'm not there, but I can see Kevin in the back. Just air it all out on air, Fred. Just air it all out.
Well, just saying. I think everybody should know what our plan is.
Yes.
We have no secrets.
No, we don't.
All right. We're back to wrap it up.
The L.A. Clippers are back at it.
Paul George in his zone. 10 quick points.
Don't miss the action with Noah Eagle and Adam Oslin. Next up, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and the Heat are in L.A. to take on Paul George and the Clippers. Clipper Countdown begins at 6:30 after Petros and Money right here on AM 570 L.A. Sports. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Fred Rogan. AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey, we proudly salute our veterans today and every day. AM 570 LA Sports, the Justin Turner Foundation, and iHeartMedia Los Angeles. All working together with the Dream Center LA to raise money for our military veterans and help provide Thanksgiving meals, Christmas trees, and gifts to families in need this holiday season. Go to dreamcenter.org/donate now to make your donation. Help our community today during the season of giving this holiday season. Complete details at am570lasports.com. Ronnie, Kevin, thank you. Outstanding, and Rodney will wrap it up.
Let's get him, Fred. Let's get him.
Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money over cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say,
living, dying in LA, the place to be.
To live and die in LA.